What I want you to do is just kind of think about for a moment. Don't lose this moment. I want you to think about the Lord for a moment. I know this sounds crazy. We're supposed to be thinking about the Lord. But whatever you're thinking about at this very moment, would you put that aside and just think about how wonderful God has been and will be to you and to all of us? I'm always thinking about the seraphim that are saying, holy, holy, holy in the throne room. And a lot of times, I think that when we read a passage like that, we tend to think that maybe God has them set up in order, since he's the king, he has them set up and maybe somehow programmed to say, holy, 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 so that he could experience their worship. When in fact, I think it's more probably going to be along the lines that the Lord is so amazing. And, you know, the Bible doesn't say that the seraphim don't have any other words they can speak. It just says that they say, holy, holy, holy. Maybe it's because that's all they can do to describe his greatness. Have you thought about that? God's greatness to us right now is what I wish that the rest of the world would know. Because I think we would be able to win this world back to Jesus somehow, if they knew that. You have your Bibles. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 at the end of it, verses 11 to 22. And I really love the book of Ephesians. And in fact, I did a Bible study on it maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I met with some pastors and in Liberty. My hope was for us to somehow be excited about what God has made available to all of us so that we could be, just like Roy was praying, so that we could be a group of Christians, in at least in the Liberty area, that could be united in such a way that people would just be amazed at what God is doing, not because of any particular church or any particular pastor, but somehow the realization of who God is and his goodness to us would somehow be made known. And so we tend to struggle with that, though, as Christians very often. And I don't know why that is. I suspect it's because inside of each one of us, we have a bit of a nature in us that wants to fight against whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to do. You don't have to be a pastor or just a Sunday school teacher or a layperson. We all can relate to that. We tend to want to go by how we feel. Maybe we want to go by some of the results that we have, but somehow we fight against the Spirit. And so sometimes people ask me, they say, so what do you do? The kids will ask this. Do you get paid for being a preacher? Do you get paid for reading the Bible? Do you get paid for reading or for praying? And so in the short answer, I say, yes. I know they're like, what? That's the job I'm going to do, because they don't like to read. And I always tell them, I'll say, listen, you know what? I don't like to read either, but I have to read all of the time. I wish I could just not read, because it's just so, sometimes it's so boring to me. And honestly, the only book that I can read seems to be the Bible. I do love to read the Bible. I don't know. It must be because it's the Bible. But I always tell the kids, and so people, other people will say to me, well, then why are you working at the school? And a lot of times I'll kid around. I'll say, well, I need the money. You know, and if there's a meltdown sometimes with the kids, sometimes the kids will melt down. And, you know, and I might have to restrain somebody. Or it's not maybe restraining them. Maybe I have to go and talk to them and help the kids to understand nobody's trying to hurt them and all of this stuff. Because a lot of times people actually act out when they have pain. Do you remember all the old folklore, the fables that we used to read to our kids? Remember the one with the lion that had the splinter in his paw? And he was so nasty all the time until somebody got to noticing he had a splinter, and he took the splinter out. And then he became a friendly lion. Do you remember that? You ever hear that? Those kids' stories? I wish we would teach that again. And so This is what happens with the kids. And sometimes I'll go and say, I know what's happening to you. I know what happened. And then they start to calm down. And when they're in the midst of that, what I'll tell sometimes too, if they're not listening to me and they're maybe really having a serious meltdown, sometimes they're just going to do that. And I'll look over to somebody and I'll say, you know, I'm just in it for the money. And they laugh, because obviously I'm not. One of the things I want you to understand as followers of Jesus Christ is that the reason that we are called to make disciples and that we are called to go out into the world is not because we're trying to build churches up. Wouldn't that be easy to say? I remember several years back, somebody told me my goal was just to grow a big church. Well, somewhat, I guess, but if you want to bring it down to that level, yes. Actually, my goal is that the church extends its tentacles through our community. I can tell you that. Because our community will not get any better until they have Jesus Christ in their lives. So the way I'm doing it, just in case you were wondering, I am an undercover agent for Jesus Christ at our schools. That's what I do. Amen. That's what you and I do. We all go to our places where we have influence on people, and what we are to do is we are to somehow to bring joy into a life that doesn't have joy. And one of the things I've been telling our people is for a couple of years, I've been looking at a term. It's called ACEs. I wasn't going to talk about it. Adam said I should talk about it. I wasn't going to, but I got to thinking about it. I am going to say this. You can look it up. You have my permission. If you are able to get on Wi-Fi or if you have data to use on your phone, you're not going to offend me if you tune out for a moment from this sermon and you just type in capital A, capital C, capital E, and you will see that there is a major epidemic that is taking place in our world, and in particular, actually right around us in Pickens County. ACE means adverse childhood experience. That's what it means. And what I'm telling you this for this morning is that we are actually reading one of the books. We are literally going through Ephesians. And this book tells us that there is hope to overcome that. Our kids grow up. This is where the cycle is. Our kids grow up thinking that this is all that life has to offer them. That's why I'm at school, because I'm the exception to the rule. I wish it happened this way for everybody, but it doesn't. God happened to just somehow save me to the extent that I realized that I needed an education. And then when I had an education, then there is a whole lot more possibility for me and my family. And I saw value in education, and I saw the value in knowing who Jesus Christ is and being connected to his people. And that's what saved me. It saved me. So what I always say is that the kids will say to me, what's the use? Because this is the way it is. And do you know how many churches we have in this area? I've been saying this for a couple weeks. And I don't care if they see it on the internet. Do you know how many churches we have in our area? And we have kids who are seriously wondering if their dad or their mom's going to beat them that night. Who are trying to figure out if anybody is going to feed them. Who are literally on their own because maybe somebody's taken off. And God is so wonderful, right? Church, I'm going to tell you something this morning. Our responsibility, that song we sang, a little upbeat, I can't remember the name of it, but the song we sang reminded us that we are the ones that God is going to use to bring healing to the people that are lost and disconnected. You know what? This stuff may even be going on in families that go to church. This is what's astounding. Let's look and see what Jesus, well, actually Paul, I guess, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit speaking on behalf of Jesus, how's that, has to say about this. And I want to talk to you about it because what this is, it's the good news. And I titled it The Good News because I want to remind you that the good news is actually supposed to infiltrate into these adverse childhood experiences that, listen, because I know Jesus Christ and He dwells inside of me. We learned this a couple weeks ago. We talked about it's a taste of heaven. When we were in Ephesians 1, we said, listen, what we're taking from this first chapter is that the world, because of Jesus Christ and His people, should get a taste of what heaven is actually like because they're around us. Those, the group of us who follow Jesus Christ. Then we were reminding ourselves in chapter 2, the first part of chapter 2, that individually in particular, what we do is we display the handiwork of God in our lives. You remember that? And so we were saying that because the Holy Spirit, once we receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into us, and then He begins to do this work on us that changes us. And listen to me when I say this. This book that we're in actually shows us that it's not because God is changing just the individual for just the individual's sake. What God is doing now is He is developing this new humanity on earth. You know, because you know what happens? People say, why doesn't God do something? He does. He does. And here's what's happening. You and I get to join Him in what He's doing. Because God is changing our hearts, His handiwork should be displayed. We would maybe recognize, if we say handiwork, maybe we would think of the tree that bears fruit, if you will. And so because of that, we're changing, and as a group begins to change, then the group begins to influence the community. And if the community begins to change, then the community begins to influence a region. You see what happens? You remember how Christianity became the main religion in the world? They went out, and it just kept expanding, didn't it? And it kept growing, just like Jesus said it would. That's what we do now. So let's look at what Ephesians chapter 2 says. And I'm going to pick up in verse 11 and just read to the end of the chapter. And I wanted to preach this in particular because this is about the group. This is about the group. This isn't just about individual Christianity. This is about the church universal. And this is what it says. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. You should highlight that because it's not being done by Jesus. It's being done by human hands. It says this, remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Sounds a lot like ACEs, doesn't it? Moving on. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Is that not good news? Look at the first thing I want you to see. The good news is on account of Jesus, everyone has been brought near to God. Everyone. So what we were saying in chapter 1, you see how we kind of follow the theme. In chapter 1, we said that what's happening is the world is getting a taste of what heaven is actually like. And so what's happening now is everyone is being brought near to God because of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done for us. And so what that simply means, when we said everyone was getting a taste of heaven, because of the groups that meet together, then what they should be able to do is they should be able to look into the groups that we love God and love each other, right? And we treat each other with value. And so the world gets that taste of what heaven is actually like. Everyone is valued in heaven, obviously, by the people. But God values even those who are not in heaven right now. And so what's happening is because of Jesus, because we exist on account of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave on our behalf. Amen? Because of Jesus, we exist. And it brings people near to God. So Jesus himself actually was able to preach to those who were near to God. If you want to put it in Israel's terms, those who were in Israel at that time, they were the ones who were actually going to the temple. They had the temple, and everybody said, well, you know what? God's presence is over there, didn't they? But now hold on to that. God's presence is over there. And so those who were far, here's what happens. Those who were not purely Israelites, you know, Israel didn't do everything right, did they? They were actually on the outside of the temple courts, and all they could do was be far from God. But with Jesus Christ, who himself took on human flesh and came to all of the people, and we have all of the accounts, all of you who are on Wednesday night's Bible study with us, you know that in the book of Mark, what's happened is that Jesus Christ not only has revealed that he's the Son of God to the Jews, but he also revealed he's the Son of God to the Gentiles. Because God loves everybody, right? Not just a slither of Israel. God loves, John 3:16 said what? For God so loved the what? The world. In other words, God loves everybody. And so God himself took on flesh in the form of flesh, Jesus Christ, and brought everybody near to God. So everybody's aware of who God is. It's kind of like the saying when I'm always talking to the kids, I don't have to beat them with the Bible. Did you know that? I don't have to get them off to the side when they're mistreating each other, and I don't have to say, did you know you are sinning? I don't have to do that. What I say to them is, I know what's happened to you. Do you see what's happening? When they are sinning, I know that they are probably acting out. And so when I say I know what's happening, what's actually happening is I'm not holding them just accountable for the sake of saying, they've been bad, what I'm actually doing in that very moment is I'm loving them the way I think Jesus would. You know what's happening? If the Lord is in me, they're being brought near to God. I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking this. You should be too. That is powerful. You know, it's like I told the kids a long time ago when they said, what do you think about them taking prayer out of school? You've heard me say this. And I'm at that school again. And I said, you know what? I don't care. And they looked at me. And they said, but you're a pastor. I said, I know. You know what I think ought to happen? It ought to be put back in the home. Right? And guess what? If somebody's doing something wrong to you, you can forgive them. Guess what happened? God just showed up at school. You don't have to hate anybody. Because guess what? Jesus made it possible that we're not bound to have to hate people. We can actually love people even if they hate us. I'm struggling with that, though. You don't know me, just don't say, well, that pastor's got it together, because trust me, I struggle. I'm a work in progress. We need to sing that song more often. He's still working on me. But this is what we do. Let's look at the next thing I want you to see. The good news is that because of Jesus, he created a new humanity. You knew that was coming. You had to know it. But this is what I love. This is what I think the main theme of the book is, outside of the fact that the church universal should be united with each other. All Christians should be united together by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we do it. I mean, look at the communion, for goodness sake. You had a bunch of people that probably hated each other most of the time. But when Jesus sat down at the communion, Last Supper, what happens? They are all at peace with each other because they're united. The one thing they have in common is Jesus Christ. And so what God is doing now, he is actually using the term Paul did, creating. Did you catch that? He is taking what's actually here on this earth right now, and he is creating a new human race that actually, what's the difference? We're the people that want to do what God tells us to do. I didn't write it. I see some of y'all. You heard me read it, right? Amen? It literally said, new humanity. Everybody with me? That means because of God's handiwork, because of the availability of the Holy Spirit among those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, that means God is creating those who are willing to step away from that old way of life where the only person is valuable in that old way of life is yourself. The person, it's dog eat dog in that world. It's survival of the fittest in that way of life. And if you're a child that's an ace kid, you're the one that gets shuffled under the rug and ignored and pushed aside. And then when you grow up, you do the same thing to your kids. You know, when I used to watch my dad, I know this is going online, but when I used to watch my dad beat my mom, I said, I'll never do that. I remember being like that some. Jesus had to save me from that. When I saw my dad drinking and always hammered drunk, the night he tried to come through the window and his hands were all bloody from working my mom over, I said, I'll never drink. Guess what I did? It was modeled. And here's the thing, y'all, I want you to hear this very carefully. Because of Jesus Christ, he began to do a handiwork in me and change my life. That those things now are the things I just scratch my head and wonder how that was even possible in my life. Y'all hear that? And if that is true, God is truly developing a new humanity. How else is God's kingdom going to inbreak through the world if his Christians, those who follow him, aren't obeying him, not because they have to, but because they want to? They see the value in following and doing what God says in their own lives. And guess what happens? When we listen to what God says, because what God says is actually good for us, we begin to break the cycle. My father said about me, he said, Scott broke the chain. I didn't break it, Jesus. Because you know what? I want to live with a new humanity. Because I know that that would be a good place to grow up. That would be a good place to live and be with people. People who have the common thought, the common heart, the common goal, which is to do what is right towards God and towards each other. And let me tell you something. When you do what's right towards God, it means you're doing what's right towards your neighbor, even your neighbor that you're married. Let's look at the last thing I want you to see. The good news is that because of Jesus, God dwells within the Christian church. So this morning, I get the opportunity to be able to look out at you all. And you know what I get to see? Because of what Paul says, I actually get to see people whom the Holy Spirit dwells in. And I know that we're doing stuff to a building out here right now, but you know what? If the tornadoes or something, or even if a hurricane was able to take out anything that we have here, if they took out the building and all that stuff, this right here is the temple. This right here. You know what? This is what the Bible says. Right here, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you means that it's Jesus Christ in the flesh again, because he is living inside of you. If you've received Jesus Christ and you know him, he is living inside of you, and that means that what I see is the temple, and it's in him that every one of us is held together. Every one of us is being built up into this group of people that is able to say, you know what? Nobody's on the outside looking at the temple and saying, God's in that box. People are actually, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but there's a game that the kids try to get on while they're doing their schoolwork, and they don't think that we know about it. And all the game does, it's like a cell. I think it's called Meba or something like that. And all it does is it goes around, and if it touches another cell, it grows and it gets bigger. And so whoever's got the biggest cell, eventually whoever's on the screen, I imagine it's they're playing against kids all over the world that are supposed to be doing their studies as well. And so what's happening is the cell just keeps touching other cells. They're trying to eat each other, and they keep growing bigger, and eventually you get down to just one big cell. And that's how that person wins. But I guess the reason I'm telling you this is because of us being the temple, we bring people, we touch them, and then they grow us. We grow them, they grow us, we become bigger. Isn't that kind of what Jesus said the kingdom of God is like in the Gospels? It's like that mustard seed. That when it's the smallest seed, and when it goes to the ground, and it comes back up, what happens is it's a big enough tree that all of the birds of the air can be perched in. That's the kingdom of God growing. Everyone has access to Jesus Christ through us. Those who are not connected are able to be connected through us. This morning, some of what I've said, you might even be struggling with what I've said. And you know what? That's okay. If you're not checking your pastor and following back behind him, can I tell you, you're drinking Kool-Aid, right? God's given you a brain. You get your Bible out and you read it yourself, okay? That's first and foremost. But if I'm telling you the truth this morning, if I'm correct in what the good news should actually look like and the impact it should actually have on our communities around us, then I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. You should be buying into this new humanity. We're not a group of people that is waiting for Jesus to return and then God puts it right. I don't know about the God you serve, but the God I serve, He gives us responsibility. And because He gives us responsibility, that means I have to make a decision that I'm going to join Him in what He's doing. Jesus said the Son can't do but what He sees the Father doing. So what happens is we join Him with what we see Him doing because we are His children. And so when we see Jesus reaching into where there's so much terrible things happening with other people in their lives, we reach in. Don't be like those Christians, if you will. When I was a kid, all that craziness that was going on in my house, they didn't want anything to do with that. Nothing. We're not like that. Jesus isn't like that. He goes right where it's uncomfortable sometimes. If you're not thinking about the fact that everybody you're sitting next to right now has the Holy Spirit in them, and that should somehow change the way you look at them, you need to adjust your thinking. What would be the harm of thinking, I got to be careful how I treat Kevin. He got the Holy Spirit in him, right? Can't just make fun of him. I make fun. He probably burned me anyway. But this is what we change. I hope you're seeing it this morning. I love this song. This is my favorite song. And Raise a Hallelujah. I don't know if you've heard that. Those are my two favorite songs this year. But I'm telling you what, I caught a glimpse of what God wants to do, and that right there is exactly it. And that's why I'm here. I caught a glimpse of what God wants to do for all of us. For all of us. And it's great. It's good news. Think about what it could do for our communities if we could just present it right. So right where you're at, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you need to change the way you're thinking about what it means to be a follower of Christ this morning, allow the Holy Spirit to tell you and to help you to commit to changing the way you think. It's freedom. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We're so grateful for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for dwelling with us, Lord. We are not worthy. Thank you for the fact that you are with us, in us, and among us, Lord, and that you have set us free if we'd only just take hold of that freedom where we could just love each other and love you the way we were meant to. Help us to do those things, Father. Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray, Father, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that needs to be connected to Christ, that, Father, they would speak to me, Lord, that they would let me know, and we could take care of that right now. And, Father, I pray also that you would also help us to leave here with the feeling of being compelled, Lord, to go out and connect those who are disconnected because the message is so good. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.